Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency.
No, we don't always get it right. So people call us out when they think we're wrong, but we don't always get it right.
I'd focus more on getting your barber into a disciplinary, mate. What is that haircut? How this woman swallowed a HR manual, get a life, love. It's definitely not about me, is it?
So these dossers can sit around doing nothing while we go to work. That makes sense.
It's not 1900 where a gentleman will defend your honour. Keep your snout out is the motto, with a couple of emojis at the end for good measure.
One, number one fan, and two, the best feedback that we get from anyone has to be your mother.
Just before we start, protect your business from the risk of tribunal, reduce legal costs, and save yourself from HR headaches with our Heroes software and employment law consultancy services.
We're back on the podcast with a bit of a different episode today. Welcome back, everybody, first of all. Nice to see you all.
Bit of a different format. So we do this occasionally. So we did the last time we changed it up, we did the ping pong bat.
I liked that.
That was fun.
I would like to do that again. I mentioned Joe Marler's podcast earlier because I like Joe Marler. Do you know Joe Marler? He's surely a rugby player. He was on Traitors.
I don't watch Traitors.
Do you not?
No.
What do you do in your spare time?
Train for the half Iron Man.
Run.
Though I know there's one particular person listening to this going, I knew she's going to try and get it in there at some point.
I run, I bike, I do, yeah.
You've done a marathon, all you want to talk about is the fact that you've done a marathon. And now all I talk about the fact is I'm training for a half marathon. And once I've done the half Iron Man, it'll be, did you know?
I did this. Every single meeting. There's worse things to show off about, isn't there?
What are we doing today, Ollie?
We're going to read mean comments and like just things that people said that aren't nice.
Yeah. So we get hate mail, we get mean comments, mm-hmm. and actually way more, I think, than we appreciate, because Dawn is our little bodyguard. She'll go on and she'll hide things, delete things. And sometimes she'll tell us when someone said something mean, sometimes she won't.
I genuinely don't mind like when it's just typed words on a screen to me. I know people are like, do you know what I mean? I don't care.
Yeah.
We're not like big, are we? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not walking down the road and people going, oh, your hair's shit. Do you know what I mean?
No, they're just doing it online instead.
And on that note.
So we're going to go through mean things that people have said to us, where they've challenged some of the things that we've said. So I've had a couple where people have said, I'm wrong. I'm never wrong. No. I've got a podcast. You haven't. Just general, you know, hate maily, funny feedback type things. And then I think some of our own outtake type stuff, so where we've made a bit of a mess of things as well.
Things we've done wrong, just to show that we are also human.
We're not perfect. Well, you're not perfect. I'm.
Let's go from the first one. I'm going to say who said it. Doesn't really affect anything, does it? We don't know where they live. I wish we did.
So maybe give the context of what we were talking about in this one.
On the first one, we were talking about a disciplinary process.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the first ones we did.
It was quite early doors, this one, I think.
It weren't. The first one was the smell in the football person's...
Was that the first podcast we ever did?
I think so, yeah. I think it was that one.
Okay.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Don't have to go back and have a look, but it was very early on this. Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, go on then.
I'd focus more on getting your barber into a disciplinary, mate. What is that haircut?
That was obviously talking about you.
That was obviously talking about me.
I think we need to get it flashed up.
If we can bring it up,
the haircut at the time.
I think it was when I had the mullet.
I mean, I've always been very good at not commenting on personal appearance of people in the workplace.
Although you have just... What have you said to me before we started filming?
That tangent's coming out later. Trust me. I know where that one's going in. That's a bit different.
Okay.
That was concern for your well-being, Ollie. You know, it's a welfare check. You know, can you not pay your heating bill and buy yourself a new t-shirt? Anyway, do you know what? I have also had critical comments about my hair. Do you remember the one who said, go buy some conditioner, love, or something like
yes.
that?
Yes.
There was someone who was saying, and I, at the time... I didn't get upset about it. I didn't.
Honestly, you didn't?
I didn't. The fact that it's not even on the list and I can remember it, I'm not upset about it. But it was, I remember the time I'd come off a run of lifeboat stuff. So I'd been I think it must have been in one of the summer ones we'd done, because salt water is an absolute freaking nightmare for women's hair. And I have a lot of hair. So I think I was going through a particularly dry spell with my hair at the time, and someone was like, buy some conditioner, love, for your hair. That I was like, oh good God, I've literally like eat, slept and lifeboated.
I've been at sea.
Over a week. I have been at sea, out on life-saving duties. Leave me the fuck alone. Yeah, yeah, like yeah. That was kind of my response to that. So yeah, I did have a bit of sympathy with the hair thing with you. And also, you know, people's individual expression. If you think it looks good, who am I to say anything?
This is it, yeah. I mean, yeah. We've all got different haircuts, haven't we?
There's been lots about your hair.
There are. Yeah.
I only had the one about telling me to use conditioner, and you know, I'd say frankly, not really applicable anymore.
No,
I'd say my hair looks well conditioned today.
It does. You've done well.
And my mother will tell me I need a haircut. So anyway, moving on. But yeah, your hair I think was the star of the show for quite some time.
It's more of a thing that I feel like women should get picked on for.
No, you can't pick on women for their hair.
Women will pick on women for it. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't think. No, unless someone's had a really, really bad haircut where I'd be like, oh no, I don't think I would.
Never.
You just don't. You're nice to other girls. Like, if someone's
even
having a really...
the back.
No, we're nice about other women. The whole, you know, lifting each other up thing. I might be like, well, I wouldn't have done it, but I'm not going to say that to somebody.
Okay, we're different.
And also, right, okay, I suppose you only ever really see me at work. I live in an environment where I'm either in salt water, chlorine, or I've been in the gym.
Mm. Or you whip pigs.
Or I'm with the pigs. Mm-hmm. It's piggies, yeah. So my hair is always either tied up, bunned on top of my head, French plaited, or pigtailed, mm-hmm. so that it's out of the way.
Functionality.
It's functionality. So if like someone came into my garden and I've been with the chickens, been in the vegetable patch, and I'm like clearing out the pigs, and my hair's piled up on my head, and I'm... you know, knee deep in the pigsty, and someone's like, won't do my hair like that, I'd be like, you can do one, mate. Like,
it's not on my mind.
And also, why are you in my garden? Like,
you know? Leave me alone.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know, and I was saying this to a friend recently, and it's something that when I was growing up, I think that my parents always wished that I'd take more attention perhaps over like doing my hair more. Like, I've got more better things to do. It's washed, I'm hygienic, like whatever. Like,
it's not that deep, is it?
Yeah. It's why I dye my own hair. I don't have time to spend 7 hours in a hairdresser's chair.
Do you know what? I could never imagine you making salon small talk.
I take my laptop.
Yeah,
when I'm forced to go, right? Yeah, yeah. I take my laptop and I'm like, I put my AirPods in and I'm like, just tap me on the shoulder if you need me.
Really?
I don't, and it's because I've got so much hair, I'm in there for so long.
I can't do that much small talk.
No, I can't. It's like, are you busy? How's the work? Like, no, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
What time do you get off?
Yeah. Just can't do it. It's bad enough when you're in a taxi for more than 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so no, it's a long haul. So, yeah, the hair thing, probably more sensitive for me than it is for you, but you had a lot of comments early doors.
I did. I think you're jealous. I'm going to skip one here because this is my favourite one. How this woman swallowed a HR manual, get a life, love. It's definitely not about me, is it?
No, it's not. I'm pretty proud of that one, actually.
We said this is a compliment.
That's literally my job. No, yeah, it's not, because he's like, get a life, love.
It's a compliment now.
Yeah, if you cover up the second half of the sentence. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, literally my job.
He just said, you're good at your job, but then said you've got no life because of it.
No, it's definitely a dig, because I think when you say someone's like swallowed the manual, they're like parrot fashioning rules at you. Often okay. Without context, understanding and whatever. So no, that one's definitely a dig. Get a life, love. I have a very full life. Thank you very much.
She does triathlons, half triathlons, marathons, bikes and running.
Yeah, no life, no social life at all. But you know, I have a life outside of...
And for everyone wondering, that comment was from a John Wilde. John without the H, Wilde with an E at the
end. Has this woman swallowed a HR manual? No, but I did spend however many tens of thousands on law school and the rest of it to acquire all this knowledge. Thank you very much.
This is literally the job.
Yeah, it's literally my job.
That Alyssa does, John. So if you want to get in touch, mate, just pop us an email. Yeah. And we can talk about it further.
Oh, I'll pick one now.
Go on, you go for
one. Let's have a look. So this was in relation to, and I remember this one because I think we've been talking about how to spot when someone is pulling a sickie. So where they're not really ill, and they're abusing sick leave or whatever. And this is one of the super duper TikTok performers. And that always makes me very nervous when I see like when we're getting into the hundreds of thousands of views, I'm like, oh God, the comments are going to be spicy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because as much as I would love to think there's 100,000 HR managers watching our TikTok, there's not.
Mm-mm.
I think the ones that I know perform well are maybe where we get a couple of thousand views and we get like 50 saves. The saves, that's our little customer base.
It keeps people.
When you see 100,000 views, I think, oh no.
These aren't the people that I want to see.
These are not the people who need to be watching this. And invariably they're the ones that where the comments have sort of gone off the rails a little bit. So this one was, yeah, we were talking about how to spot when someone's pulling a sickie. And the answer from Joe212 is, so these dossers can sit around doing nothing while we go to work. That makes sense. I mean, I can see where this person's coming from. So, and I think this was in response to another comment, because I remember, I think it was this video, because I, before Dawn deleted it, I saw one that was aimed at me where they did call me a mean name, where it was along the lines of, basically, it's none of your business, you don't pay my sick pay.
Okay. Okay, yeah, yeah.
So basically someone saying, well, it's
that's on here as well.
Is that on here as well?
That's on here, yeah.
Is it? Oh yeah, you don't pay my sick pay, bitch. So sure. Yeah, again, that one hasn't like, you know, sunk in or anything.
No, that's fine.
It's not been keeping me awake at night. So that's where someone who is commenting on our video when we've said how to spot when someone's pulling a sickie, someone's going, absolutely, I'm going to pull a sickie because you're not the person who pays my sick pay.
Yeah.
And then obviously this has led to a nice bit of discussion going on.
I feel like
in the comments. So when it does, I think it generates its own little ecosystem where they all start arguing.
It does. And it's always more often than not, it's always like employees.
Yeah.
People that are like, yeah, I've had this happen to me or something similar has happened. That's where it's where
so one of the responses to that one then was user who says, so these dossers can sit around doing nothing while we go to work. That makes sense. So on the one hand, you've got user going, you don't pay my sick pay, bitch. I'll do what I want. And then someone else calling that one a dosser going, so you can go to work and I'm picking up the bill.
At least they're not going after us.
At least they're not going after, well, no, the first one's going after me.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. Second one, he's going after, you've got Davey and Joe going at it there.
Yeah.
That's not incriminating. I've only used first names.
Yeah, having the little arguments breaking out in there. And I think, I don't know why sick pay is such a, I don't know why sick pay is such a inflammatory issue. Because I don't know if that's the one where we had over 100,000 views. It might be. But I remember that one got lots.
Was that the one where we were talking about like someone going on holiday and like you checking their social medias, like if they're really sick, they won't go on holiday type thing?
I think that was the one we did with Simon, the barrister. His got loads.
Oh, yes.
And where people were saying, oh, yeah, this has actually happened to me, where I wasn't very well. Doctor said, look, a break would do you good. And they've gone off on holiday and then they've had loads of hate from their colleagues about it. So yeah, that one did get loads of comments, not so much directed at us, but it was very much around, yeah, you know, it's an accepted kind of situation. But then my take on that is, why are you stalking your colleagues' social media? Like you say, I don't have a life because I followed swallowed a HR manual. You're the one stalking your mates on social media.
Yeah, you're on your phone typing to us.
Yeah, keyboard warriors.
Not mad at all.
Though I have, I mean, I wouldn't say this is necessarily new to me. I think that the comments on the social media stuff is, but I've been doing litigation on behalf of businesses for a long time. So in old world, when I was at a law firm, I used to defend businesses in tribunal. And I've had death threats. I've had to inform the police. I've had people stalk me. So I live in a very small community and sort of make people aware, like if this person comes asking for me, please don't tell them where I live.
You paint it out like your village is like Hot Fuzz.
Kind of
that's
is.
What I'm thinking kind of in my is. Head for the greater good, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if someone walked into one of the local pubs and was like, is Alyssa here? It depends on the time of year.
If it's, you get a call 5 minutes later. If
it's not quite. But if it's, say, in the winter, whenever, you know, everybody's, you know, all the staff, it's not the seasonal staff that come in. Someone's like, oh, she doesn't drink in here, she drinks down the road. Someone goes, no, is Alyssa here? Oh, no, but on a Friday, I know she's there. It's very quick and very easy to find people. Or someone goes, oh, no, she's at home. This is where she lives. You know, it's that kind of community where everyone knows where everyone lives, everyone's business. It's not especially healthy. Cough in the night, someone asks you how your cold is the next day. It's
close. How many people are in the visit
village? It's really small. So out of season, you know, a couple of thousand, if that, over a wide rural area.
Do you know
Central village, a couple of hundred, if that.
Does that then qualify as a hamlet?
Where I actually live is a hamlet.
Hamlet's like the smaller village,
isn't
it?
Yeah, yeah. So no, I have had that kind of backlash from being in litigation where I went on a hearing and the claimant knew where I'd been on holiday, when,
oh, work.
Knew that I'd changed, I hadn't changed my name professionally when I got married.
Mm-hmm.
So knew my married name, and then also knew, so I, the name that I had when I was born, I changed by deed poll when I was 18. And then when I was married, obviously my married name changed. This person knew the name that I was born with, knew name in between and my married name, and basically trying to say to the judge that I was trying to mask my true identity. The judge very quickly was like, why and how do you know all of this?
Weird.
It's perfectly normal for women in the professional environment to either use their maiden name and stick with one and not change that to their married name or vice versa. What business is it of yours? This is grossly unhealthy.
Weird.
And he was
guy,
warned
man.
Then. And then on the hearing after that, knew where I'd been on holiday and when. So
oh God.
Yeah, that was weird.
Bayek.
Yeah.
Let's next comment.
Yeah.
Do you want to read one or shall I read one?
You can go for one.
Let's go with...
Oh, the train one's quite good.
Go on, I'll read the train one. I'll read that out because that was about...
Oh no, so should we talk about the situation first?
Yeah, you do it. It was your situation, so you like outline it.
It wasn't a podcast one. This was one of the LinkedIn videos. So I do little short videos about various topics. And this one was interesting. So I'd been on a train up from London on the way home, and someone got on the train, was on the wrong train. So he had his headphones on, hadn't been listening to an announcement, got on the train, realised it was the wrong train. After we'd kind of gone past the point of no return for him for heading off into North Wales rather than heading back to London. He thought he was going to London. And he started to become very, very worked up, which further deteriorated in terms of his behaviour towards the train conductor, who was female. It'd already gone dark. So the evening, it was dark, it's nighttime. You know, the carriage is very, very quiet. He's opposite the table to me, and there's another person next to me. And his language, behaviour, demeanour, he starts to act, he becomes aggressive. Like that is what it is. I intervened and I asked him to calm down. And I said, look, this person is doing her job. She didn't put you on this train. She didn't do the announcement. She cannot turn the train around. And you are abusing her while she is at work.
It's pointless.
I suggest you calm down. It is your mistake. And she was actually trying to help him out in the situation, saying, look, I can give you, because technically his ticket wasn't valid. She could have fined him. He was on the wrong train. She said, look, I can give you another ticket. If we get you off here, you can get on this train. And all he was obsessed with was the fact that he was now going to be over an hour late because he was on the wrong train and was taking it out on her. And I'd said in the video how, in response to that, he turned to the person over there and said, I'm not being aggressive, am I? And she was like, no, you're fine. And I was like, I'm
right?
a solo female in this situation. Come on. Like, I've already taken the leap of faith here. Like, back me up at least. After he got off the train conductor came back and thanked me and was like, thank you. She said the situation was getting really uncomfortable for her. And then when actually it got to my stop and I was getting off, I heard the woman who didn't back me up telling somebody else how aggressive this guy had been. And I'm like, oh, you're happy to dine out on it now. But when it was, anyway, so that was the situation that I put myself in. And I was describing the situation, and it was about how people were receiving abuse at work and that sort of thing. So that's the context. And then we get this comment.
Yes, we do. Keep your nose out. If he had decided to clump you, you'd be the first to blast about why a horrible man took your tooth out. It's not 1900 where a gentleman will defend your honour. It's 2025. This was in 2025. And people get injured or killed for no reason these days. Keep your snout out is the motto, with a couple of emojis at the end for good measure. Yeah.
I mean, that's mean.
Yeah, he's thought about that. That's a long sentence to pick someone out.
It is. And do you know what? Okay, the guy was being aggressive. Did I feel like I was about to be physically attacked? No. Also, I'm on a lit train with CCTV with two other people present. I didn't feel I was necessarily at risk of being physically attacked. Also, do I need a man to defend my honour?
Heck no.
Do I look like the kind of person who's...
Nope.
Who's going to bleat about it? I think that's what he was trying to say. Bleat about why a horrible man took my tooth out.
Spell it right.
I tell you now, someone punched me in the face and took my tooth out on a train. That's an issue that's not going to be going away anytime soon. And I'm not going to be bleating about it.
I'll be bleating formidably. What demographic was this guy?
I don't know.
In my head, I've got like spoil Gen Z headphones on. Or I've got
the person who was on the train.
Yeah, yeah. Or I've got like rich businessman who don't pay attention to anyone who's a...
Businessman, early 40s.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
Yeah. Had his headphones on though.
Like Michael.
It wasn't Michael.
But similar to Michael.
No, he was quite stacked actually. He was a big
guy. Michael's not stacked.
He's a big guy.
Right, okay.
I think, am I taller than Michael? I don't, anyway, let's not go down that route. No, this guy, he was stacked. He was built, you know?
Oh, heck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was raging.
He was raging.
Bye.
Which in some ways, maybe that would feel unfair to him that the perception is he's aggressive, maybe because he's a big guy, but...
Aggression is not in like how you're built though, is it? It's like tone and presentation.
And like the train conductor was shaking. Like you could tell she was visibly uncomfortable and she was frightened. It wasn't a pleasant situation at all.
Was he tall?
Yeah.
But like muscular?
Yeah, muscular. He's a big guy.
Was his skin particularly red?
He looked irate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
He looked irate. Okay. But yeah, I think that one in particular, to get into the detail of basically if someone punched me in the face that it would be my own fault. Well, that's
pretty crazy thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah. Not 1900 where a gentleman will defend your honour.
Pretty sure like if there was another bloke on train and a man hit a woman, I'd hope.
No, I don't think people would these days. I think that is and that's the thing. Oh, I was talking about the bystander effect. That's what it was. It's how we stop bad behaviour is we stop being bystanders. And we do training on this. And the rule is obviously where it is safe to do so, because obviously people do end up, you know, injured, killed, whatever, where they've stepped into a situation. I felt this was safe enough not to be a bystander and to intervene. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think there's any guarantee anymore that if you are physically attacked, people are more likely to film something, which, okay, fine, there's evidence afterwards, but they're not doing it for that reason. It's, oh my God, look what I saw today. Mm. And there was that horrific footage in America of that poor girl who got stabbed on a train and everyone just sat there. It was just, it happens because people are scared for their own safety, which I get. I get that.
Often knives involved, I'm probably not getting involved. Like, yeah.
No, and I get that, but the sentiment of this comment is not that, I don't think.
No, I don't think it's a terribly informed thing to say.
No.
Really?
No.
He's probably not even watched the whole video.
Yeah. So there we go.
I'm not going to name him, shame him.
No.
I've been told not to do that.
Yeah.
Should we finish off with the things that we've done wrong, perhaps, and just admit to... There's two things I've got written down here.
Well, no, I think there's one more because it's not on here. Did you ever get, or was it just me and Erin in the office talking about your trousers?
Camo ones?
Yeah.
What about them?
Well, I would just say they're like Backstreet Boy pants.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, but did we ever get any stuff about that, or was that just literally in the office that you were getting teased? Because that's where the T-shirt thing is coming from.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember never so much thinking about your hair, but we'd be on a podcast and I'd be like, he's got those damn trousers on again. Like, the ones that look like you've got like paint splashed
Yeah. Blue collar trousers.
Why do you call them your blue collar trousers?
I can much make believe like I'm a painter sometimes, and you know, like I can lift and drill and stuff.
I think like Backstreet Boy. But like, which for those under a certain age was a boy band back in the
90s, early
2000s. How
about a cover band idea? Blue collar Backstreet Boys.
But it's the first time I think that I've commented on your clothes was when I mentioned your t-shirt before this podcast.
Okay.
Which is the tangent that you tried to get to after the hair comment.
Yeah, yeah.
So for anyone who is not watching on YouTube, Oliver's t-shirt has holes in it.
Minor holes.
They're not. They're quite significant.
Yeah, to be fair, sorry. They are, aren't they, to be fair.
And my question was, did you know that your t-shirt had holes in it? And you were like, well, that's the design, which made me feel very old. But like, you literally look like...
It was very funny the way you
moths
asked it.
In your cupboard, frankly. It's, no, it was a welfare question because...
I might not be able to afford heating.
You might not be able to afford to buy yourself a new t-shirt.
No.
Well, no, if it's heating, put a t-shirt on that doesn't have holes in it.
Yeah, fair. It's kind of an opposite argument, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't I feel silly?
So it's by design, so there we go. But no, we don't always get it right. So people call us out when they think we're wrong, but we don't always get it right. So
you do yours first.
I do mine first. So my big drop the ball lately, haven't broken the law, but did drop the ball, new joiner.
New?
Well.
Rejoiner.
Rejoin.
Yeah.
Forgot to give him a contract of employment.
How long? How long did you leave it for?
Today.
No.
But I haven't broken the law because we did have a compliance section one statement that went out before he started. So that's fine. I haven't broken the law. But yeah, just totally forgot to do it.
Verbal agreement though, no?
No. So the law requires that we have a section one statement that sets out certain information. Okay. It doesn't actually have to be a contract. That has gone out. So that's fine. I haven't broken the law. But it's best practice to give a contract.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the reason being is because I haven't onboarded him as a new starter. I've just sort of unarchived him on the system.
Okay, yeah. Easy way around.
Well, no, I shouldn't. I should have re-onboarded him.
Technically speaking, you should have, yeah.
Yeah, I should have. So, but yeah.
Spilt milk.
So whilst I have swallowed a HR manual, clearly still going on about that.
Don't bother you at all.
Doesn't
it?
Bother me at all.
No.
I forgot to issue. Still have. I'll do it today. Forgotten to hand out a contract of employment. So anyway, we'll move on.
That's all right. There's one more glaring one. I'm hoping Alex can find the clip of it or.
We've got it. It's on socials because the person who did it is then.
Dawn found it, didn't she? Well.
One are you talking about?
The stop menopause one.
Oh yeah. So Dawn used her own clip of her making a mistake on socials.
Yeah. If we can bring it up, she says.
If you want to prevent menopause in the workplace, we have a menopause awareness e-learning course.
But she didn't mean that.
No, because we don't want to stop menopause in the workplace.
No.
We want to raise awareness of menopause in the workplace and stop menopause discrimination.
That's what she meant. However, there is a comment on this, however.
Yeah.
One of our viewers also commented on this saying, surely the only way to prevent menopause in the workplace is to fire all the women over 40, which is a crazy resolution, really.
It is crazy because actually early menopause can happen earlier than 40. So to be really safe, we'd have to fire everybody probably over the age of 32.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that is, there's all kind of problems with that. Diversity wise, we can't be doing that.
I mean, it's totally illegal.
It's illegal.
Totally illegal.
Oh, well,
totally illegal.
All.
Yes, we can't do it at all. But yeah, I do love that. So this was whilst I was off. I mean, fair play, actually. I'm not going to give, and I haven't given Dawn any heat at all for this, because when we film these podcasts in groups, so we do three at a time, we've done four today. Mm-hmm. The last time was recording day. I came into the office and was clearly very, very unwell. Mm-hmm. And I ended up in A&E and just sort of said to you guys, I need you just to wing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just get on with it, do the podcast. So Dawn stepped in, Michelle stepped in, did an absolutely stellar job. I spent 4 or 5 days in hospital.
Severe dehydration or something like that?
No, so that's what we thought it was. It was my own body trying to kill me. So I had I'm going to say this wrong, hemorrhagic ruptured cyst that then gave me appendicitis.
Oh, heck.
Yeah. So, and I did have, because I mean, this is a bit TMI, vomited for 14 hours straight. So actually what I was admitted with was severe dehydration.
Because of that?
Because I couldn't stop. And so when I was in the office, I'd sort of come in and gone, morning everyone, and then gone to spend 2 hours on my knees in the bathroom at work. that was a really unpleasant day. And then ended up in hospital for several days. So yeah, fair play. The team did an absolutely fantastic job. I say that, I haven't actually listened.
No.
I need to listen. I'm just taking it as a given that you all did a fantastic job. And especially when the only output I've seen is Dawn saying how to stop menopause in the workplace. And I think now, I don't think I want to listen to the rest of it because I'm too scared about what I'm going to find. So I'm just thinking, well, they're out there now.
Yeah, there might be a few other Easter eggs in there that people can pick up on.
Yeah.
So far, that's the only one.
Yeah. But fair play, at short notice, stepped in and talked about a topic that isn't particularly easy, and it was on a guest series as well.
Hang about.
So.
Where are my flowers?
You did. Ollie, you do this the same way I do. So you know what you're doing. And actually, then it was your responsibility to be the grown-up in the room that day.
I can't do that. But I was speaking about the menopause and I'm a man.
Well done, you.
Thank you, boss. That's all I wanted.
That's all you wanted. You did very well, Oliver.
Thank you very much.
Very well indeed. So, it was fair play. She stepped in, she did a difficult job, and did very well. Yeah, I think the comment was inspired, frankly. One, number one fan, and two, the best feedback that we get from anyone has to be your mother.
It is my mother, yeah.
Oliver's mother is fantastic. So Ollie gets detailed feedback after, is it every podcast?
It can be after, it can be before we're filming, it can be midweek.
And it's brilliant. I love it. And I think she's actually, I think she's going to be with me on the t-shirt thing.
Maybe, yeah. She's with you on a lot of things, to be fair. Like,
I've never met your mum. We did have some brief correspondence.
You did.
Again, because I can't use the system that I designed correctly, I texted your mother instead of you when you were off sick to see how you were.
So now my mum's got your number, which is a terrible recipe, really. Yeah. I feel like I'm like going for parents' evenings again. Do you know what I mean?
So come on, give us one from your mother.
Well, the one I read out today, she sent me this today before I recorded. Good luck with the podcast. The overall aim is to market the company and products in a professional way to attract customers, plus demonstrating how the company can protect its clients from litigation. Nice so far. Hence, you don't want to be attracting litigation against heroes during the podcast itself. Now, this is on the back of me saying some silly things, and she thinks I shouldn't say these silly things.
Yeah.
Well, you've never really told me off.
No, I think I think where editing has been required, it's been implemented.
You've corrected me a few times, but like.
And I think actually the outtakes and this sort of thing where, you know, we've either done things wrong, said things wrong, or someone's said I'm wrong. I think your mum makes a fair point. You know, the point of the podcast is, one, it's, you know, it's brand stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way of getting information and knowledge out there, hopefully shows the business in a positive light and, you know, helps with all the good marketing stuff. If we start getting sued off the back of it, then it's entirely detrimental to the business. But thankfully, it tends to just be some bitchy comments here and there that we get. And I think that the difficulty sometimes is that when the little snippets go out on TikTok and people will be like, well, that's not true, or that's unrealistic, or you're exaggerating those figures, they forget that they're seeing a 20-second excerpt from a 30-minute podcast where we've discussed background detail and put what we've said into context, into some better context. So, yeah, I think your mum's feedback's brilliant. It's fantastic.
You enjoy it a lot more than I do, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
You do. I'll keep it. I'll
thankfully, my mother doesn't listen to the podcast. Her feedback would be brutal.
It's fairly limited to your hair's appearance and...
Yeah.
Pretty much it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not yeah.
It will be if she sees this today, because she will tell me I look like Morticia. But
Morticia Adams.
So that we're following your mother's advice. The whole purpose of this is, one, nobody's perfect. We also, you know, we can feel very exposed and vulnerable. So I'll do a welfare check on you. Do you feel like nobody said anything mean about your hair?
I'm all right.
Today?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
I'm all right.
Good. That's that box ticked.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, sometimes you've got to just take life with a bit of a pinch of salt.
Absolutely.
Provided that we're not breaking any employment laws. Like, there you go. That's my full circle.
Nice. There's nothing really to sum up here. That was quite good fun.
Yeah.
A bit more informal than our usual ones. We promise we'll maybe get the ping pong bats out next time.
Yeah, because they were really popular, weren't they?
They were fun. I was speaking about this earlier, but I forgot. Joe Marler did it, and... They have the host guy who we also included in it.
Yeah.
And he will read something out and they'll go bothered or not bothered.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
I don't think we'll do bothered or not bothered. I don't feel like that's kind of something that's in my vernacular, but we'll pick something a bit more.
Probably more appropriate terms to use into what we actually do. But yeah, was that essential?
Yeah.
I'm sure
we can rob the format and do it in a more Alyssa appropriate way.
I hope so. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Like, comment, subscribe. Cheers.
Until next time, we're your hosts signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in, and don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media, or even HRER@heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect, but by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier, and more productive workplaces.